Now, the first couple of Texas Radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Good morning.
Good morning, Allison.
Yeah, it's fortunate that I can say that.
That you can say good morning?
Yes.
Yeah, compared to what you sounded like this earlier this morning.
When I woke up this morning, I could not talk. I croaked like a frog.
She did. She had a frog in her throat. I went to the kitchen and got some tongs and tried to get that frog out, but it was stuck in there, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I'm a tail end of a cold.
Yeah, really. Well, yes, as Harley said, we are Bill and Allison Mancaro, and happy to have you this morning. We always like to begin our program with a verse, and this is 2 Peter chapter 1. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Matthew Henry, the great commentator, if you don't have his commentary, you should get one. It's very helpful. Wrote about this passage: as the Scripture is the revelation of the mind and will of God, everyone ought to search it to understand the sense and meaning. The Christian knows that book to be the Word of God, in which he tastes a sweetness and feels a power and sees a glory truly divine. The Holy Ghost inspired holy men to speak and write. He so assisted and directed them in delivering what they had received from him that they clearly expressed what they made known, so that the Scriptures are to be accounted the words of the Holy Ghost and come from God. There you go. We have a ton of stuff to talk about today, don't we, Allison? A ton of stuff.
Yes, we do.
Piles and piles and piles of things. But we are Bill and Allison. We are not politically correct. That's our trigger warning. But we are
politically incorrect.
Proudly politically incorrect. PPI, I think, is what we should call it. Proudly politically incorrect. But most importantly, we try, of course, to be biblically correct. Not always successfully, but we try. We are, as I said, a trigger warning. Alice and I are non-binary. Non-binary. People have been stealing that from us, by the way. We've been saying that for, what, 2 years, 3 years now?
Yes, exactly.
On the show, and I've now heard people picking it up, so we can take credit for that. Fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice,
and the American way.
And the American way. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why are you staring at me blankly?
It's my normal look. State of the Union.
Yes.
Was Tuesday night, Wednesday night, whatever it was?
I think it was Thursday.
Thursday night?
Yeah, it was Thursday.
Okay. And I don't know, apparently it got the lowest ratings of any State of the Union ever in history.
Oh, I had not heard that.
I think John Quincy Adams' State of the Union had a lower TV watch, but Joe Biden's had the second to John Quincy Adams.
Was this from the start? Was this from the start, or was this later into it after people heard him?
Realized he was on drugs, you mean?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I commented to Bill. I believe it was during the State of the Union, and I said he is heavily drugged. I said I don't know what it is, but he is heavily drugged to make him so more or less animated the way he is not normally. And I'll tell you, I listened to several commentators afterwards. Mm-hmm. Every single one brought up his being drugged.
Drugged and the reptilian eyes and the forced forced emotions, and it was sad to watch, actually. Why they put that, I won't go there. Anyway.
Well, okay, well, while we're talking about that.
About State of the Union?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
This trivia is about presidential succession.
Okay.
And it's very timely, since we saw all of these people at the State of the Union, as Bill said on Thursday night. If the U.S. president becomes incapacitated, dies, resigns, or gets removed from office, the country has a list of government leaders.
That's correct.
Who will replace him as commander-in-chief.
Allison and I used to work on Capitol Hill in the U.S. Congress for a number of years, and I think I know the whole list.
Okay, well, this is a quiz.
All right.
Okay, number one is the vice president.
A That's correct. Who become, and these are people who, if the president died, who would become president?
Mm-hmm.
Then it'd be the obviously the vice president. If the vice president died, then who would become president? Those are the questions, right?
Okay.
All right. So you're going to quiz me?
Number two is Speaker of the House.
No, number three is Speaker of the House. Number two is the vice president.
No, number one.
Number one is the president. This is the All right.
list of succession.
Okay,
if something happens to the president.
Yeah.
Okay, number one is the vice president.
Yeah.
Number two, Speaker of the House.
Number three is Secretary of State.
President pro tem of the Senate.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that person.
Okay, number four was the blank, but you got
Secretary of State.
Secretary of State. And number five, which I sort of surprised me. Do you know what number five is?
The Secretary of Agriculture?
No. Secretary of the Treasury.
Yeah, I think I knew that. I had back of my mind somewhere. I frankly, I don't wish ill on anyone, but it would be nice if, instead of dying, they all resigned. They wouldn't take the job until it got down to Rand Paul.
Yeah, there you go.
That's my hope.
I wonder where he is in the
they
line
are,
of
They are. All of
succession.
The members of Congress
yes.
are in the line of succession.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure when it kicks in, probably after the cabinet, after the Secretary uh-huh. of Agriculture and the Secretary of Veterans Affairs and whatever. They start with the most senior senator. Senator Pro Tem, oh, okay. You're right, the Senate is up there. But then they start with the most senior senator and come down, and then they go to the House. So mm-hmm. the House of Representatives.
Yeah, I remember very well. Being in a congressional building where my office was for a State of the Union. And I went down to the ladies' room, and this building was very old, still is. I think it was built probably in the 1930s. This is the Cannon office building.
Cannon, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I looked out the window, and outside my I was on the fifth floor, weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Both of our offices were on the same floor, fifth floor.
Up in the attic, they call it.
The attic.
Where they stuck the freshman
yeah.
congressman.
Yeah. So I looked out, and right outside my window was the route that the president would take to the Capitol for the State of the Union. And it's in the House side, isn't it? The State of the Union?
Yes.
Because it's larger.
Yeah, Senate chamber is not big enough to accommodate everybody.
Yeah, the Senate has only 100 members, whereas Congress has 435.
Correct.
Very good. So I went, and I was looking out the window, and I'd be curious to see what it's like today, but the security measures that they were taking so that no one could shoot the president from a ladies' bathroom window. That, like I said, it was very old. So the windows were wood, and they had nailed the frames of the windows down.
Oh, because nobody could possibly figure out how to get nails out of wood.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, we're fortunate enough to be on Capitol Hill during a lot of crazy events, a lot of things going on, but that's not what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about State of the Union, and as we said, Joe Biden, of course, every president uses the State of the Union to talk about their accomplishments and talk about how much better the country is than under, if their predecessor was of another party, how much it's better, and how, if their predecessor is the same party, how much they've built on his or her successes, or you know, whatever, blah blah blah. So it's a show. But Biden did a couple of things that were just kind of beyond the pale. No president has ever called out the Supreme Court justices in the right. way that Biden did, and it was,
and they were there.
Well, of course,
it's very common for every Supreme Court justice to be in the audience.
Correct.
Front row, essentially.
Yeah, they're all there, except I think there's been a few times when one or two hasn't been there.
Well, actually, someone always stays behind. Who is it?
One of the justices.
Well, yes, one of the justices, mm-hmm. in case
somebody blows up the building.
Exactly. Yeah. They want to make they put that person in a safe place,
mm-hmm.
so that
I've forgotten that.
Yeah.
Well, Biden called him out, and he did something that was so repulsive, and people don't notice this because they don't know the decorum, but no president has ever done what Biden did in the State of the Union, threaten the Supreme Court. And that's what he did. He threatened the justices to their faces, and unfortunately, decorum did not allow them to respond. They don't applaud. They don't give any indication that they like what he said or dislike what they have to sit there stone-faced. That's the decorum. But he said to them that he threatened them with political retaliation. And of course, what the left is talking about now is, in fact, that lunatic, I put his name out of my mind. What's his name, Allison? He used to have the TV show, and he was kicked off. Oh, come on, please.
I don't have a clue.
All right, anyway, said that...
Bill O'Reilly?
No, this is a left-wing lunatic.
He was not kicked off.
Left-wing lunatic.
Oh, left-wing. Howard Stern?
No. Anyway, we're not going to belabor that. I'll think of it in a minute. But he said that the Supreme Court should be dissolved. Keith Olbermann, that's all.
Keith Olbermann, right.
I push his name out of my mind. He's insane. But he said the Supreme Court should be dissolved because he disagrees with them.
Yeah, exactly. That's
you disagree with Supreme Court?
That's his whole reasoning.
Yeah. But what we know the three branches of government, and the president, the executive branch, he's the head of the executive branch of government, is threatening the co-equal branch of government, the judicial branch. Is personified by the Supreme Court, obviously, threatening them publicly. And that is so far beyond what this country was built upon, that the executive, he thinks he's a dictator, basically. And, you don't criticize a dictator. That's the bottom line. But, of course, we know what he has done. Look what he has done to Donald Trump. He has weaponized the Justice Department to go after his political opponent. That's what banana republics, third world countries do. But this is what's going on in America.
Attempting to take him out, not let Donald Trump be on the ballot.
Yeah. SWAT teams raiding his home, Mar-a-Lago, weaponizing the Justice Department to keep him off the ballot in states, to not allow people to vote for the candidate of their choice or vote against the candidate that they want to vote against. That's what they call democracy, by the way. What lies ahead for us in this country is not the normal process toward a candidate securing the nomination, but about a political witch trials intended to put Trump in jail. Nothing says democracy like removing the opposition candidate from the ballot. Really? Yeah. Really?
Fortunately, the Supreme Court ruled that, was it this week, that no states can prevent him from being on the ballot.
Yeah, and people say, they're shocked that they ruled that way. Well, no, it's not a shock. You've got the most left-wing members of the court, Jackson, Sotomayor, Kagan, saying a state can't take Donald Trump off the ballot, or any candidate off the ballot, because they know that if the situation is reversed, that their left-wing candidate could be taken off the ballot. In fact, a lot of Republican states were moving in that direction. They said, okay, we're going to take Donald Trump off the ballot, we'll take Biden off the ballot. Because he put highly classified documents in his garage, where his crackhead son had access to it, and all his crackhead friends. That's what we say. Anyway, but not to sell Joe Biden short, okay? Not to sell Joe Biden short, here are some of his accomplishments that you may not know about.
From the border to the economy, President Biden has accomplished feats in 2023 that no one ever saw coming. Here are the top 10 accomplishments of the Biden administration in 2023. First off, and this is a big, fat one, Biden reduced obesity in America by making food unaffordable. So simple. Next, he successfully cleaned up all the cocaine bags someone was leaving around the White House. Decency restored. this one's important. Biden kept American hostages safe from hotel junk fees during their stay with Hamas. Not one single junk fee.
My administration is also taking on junk fees.
What's a junk fee? Next, Biden set the all-time record for the number of people illegally entering the U.S. because he's the most popular president ever. Numbers don't lie. Biden raised dementia awareness by 400%. Not to mention incontinence, Alzheimer's, and speech impediment awareness.
Over $1.3 trillion.
Amazingly, Biden actually created a record number of new billionaires. They're all in Ukraine, but still, good for them. Next, the Biden administration upheld their campaign promise of transparency by releasing several behind-the-scenes videos from Capitol staffers. More than we wanted to see, actually. Ugh. Also, the Biden administration has literally saved democracy by arresting political opponents and not allowing people to vote for anyone else. Thank you, Joe. You won't believe this one. Biden set a new record by spending 40% of his time on vacation. And finally, Biden heroically stayed alive to save America from a Kamala Harris presidency. We salute you, Mr. Biden.
So after Trump takes back the White House and we finally get rid of your dumbass.
Yeah, well, those are some of Joe Biden's accomplishments that we thought we probably didn't know about. So, what you got, Allison?
Well, did you know that Bayer patented aspirin in 1899.
No, I didn't know that.
Just saying.
I woke up wondering when did Bayer. You know.
Now you know.
Well, speaking of Bayer, did you know? This is just a factoid floating around in my head. Bayer invented heroin. Mm-hmm. They were the first ones to produce heroin. Heroin is named because it makes you feel heroic. That's where they came up with the name.
Yeah.
And it used to be an over-the-counter drug. You could just buy it and to relieve pain back in the early 1900s, believe it or not. But thank you, Bayer. You've really done a number on America. No.
What? You know, taking heroin away from us?
Yeah. No. Inventing heroin. Inventing heroin, Allison.
Yes.
Is my point. Yeah. Did you know, on a more serious topic, if you are flying, you better check in more than 2 hours before your flight. And then you say, well, yeah, people know that. They, you know, have to go through the security and all that. No. What has been revealed very recently is that if you don't check in early, your seat could be taken by an illegal alien.
Border airline passengers are advised to check in with your airline's mobile app as soon as possible, up to 24 hours in advance, and arrive at the airport with at least 2 hours before your plane takes off. That's because asylum seekers illegally released by the Department of Homeland Security are waiting on standby for seats. And if you aren't at the boarding gate when agents start to fill empty seats, you could be bumped. That's what happened to Joel Cavazos. He bought tickets to L.A. from McAllen. He says he had trouble checking in on the American Airlines app and even arrived at the airport an hour before his flight. Cavazos says he checked in here with TSA, but by the time he got through the checkpoint, the boarding agent told him he had been bumped from the flight.
No, they weren't polite at all. I mean, the initial response was, you missed your flight, we gave your ticket to someone else.
It's everywhere, because when I was traveling through DFW a very long time ago, I saw all of these I should be
nice.
Objective. Yeah. I don't know that they were here illegally, but they all clearly were coming from another country and none of them spoke English, and they all were being escorted by this one, you know, attendant to them. And I'm just gonna assume that they were coming in through the same process. And I was standing there waiting in the TSA line, and they stopped me and funneled these people right on through. So they get priority through TSA, which, by the way, sometimes they don't even have documents. They don't have the license that you have to hold up to TSA to make sure that you can get through. They don't have those oftentimes, but they're still going to get right on through. They get priority there. They get to take your seat on the plane, and then they get to come to a city near you where they get to keep your kids out of school because they get a cot. in your kid's school, and then you don't even get to, well, I mean, honestly, that's probably a good thing that these kids aren't able to go to the public school system. I'm sure Eric would be like, that's actually a relief.
Line, maybe?
That's Civil a relief. Line. It's, I mean, they're not getting educated.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah. How about that? Illegals getting priority. Don't have to go through the checkpoints that we have to go through as Americans.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's just really just, just an outrage that, that's happening.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, as we said at the top of the hour, we have tons of stuff for you. Much, some of it's amusing and some of it ain't so amusing. I don't know. But got some interesting stats on global warming and the so-called climate crisis. I'll bet you don't know a lot of these things. We got some questions that you need to ask people who are climate change fanatics. Got some questions coming up that you can ask them, and they may have to ponder them. Well, we're Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. And here is the official state song of Texas that you can listen to, and we'll be back momentarily.
Emblem of freedom, it sets our hearts aglow with thoughts of San Jacinto and glorious Alamo. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and word throughout the ages long. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and word throughout the ages long.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot. Or you can listen to us anytime at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com.
Yep. We got our old, not old, but past shows. Not, shows never get old. Up there, you can download them to your favorite digital device. firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. All one word there. firstcoupleoftexasradio.com.
You know, there was an ad during the break for seatbelts, and it's like, of course, everybody buckles up their seatbelts.
I know, Beck, I know some good old boys that don't.
I know. Yes, we have a friend who's a farmer, and he said he'd rather be thrown from a from his truck than be trapped inside. Well, I don't know. I've heard about too many people landing on their heads, and didn't end up. End up well.
I know. Do you know, by the way, Allison, that today is a big, big birthday. Happy birthday, boy.
No.
Chuck Norris's birthday is today.
No, I did not know
that's
that.
That's right. Chuck.
Do we have a song to play?
Happy birthday to you, baby. No, Chuck Norris is, believe it or not, 84 today.
I know. That's shocking.
Alice and I are addicted to Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, I just discovered it. We never
watched it.
I'd never watched it before. I know. And a few months ago or whatever, we binge watch it in the actually 7 days
don't
a week.
Don't admit that. Do not admit that. Like we don't have anything better to do.
Well, okay. But we do binge watch it. What I should point out is,
we sit at our desk.
I watch TV from my desk.
Yeah.
So I get work done.
Me too. Now,
but no,
me
you, too. You do not.
I do too.
You sit in a chair at my desk.
I do not.
Beside
no,
my desk.
No, don't say things like, you know, God doesn't want you to say things like that. But Chuck Norris.
Oh, okay. Go
staying
ahead.
On the subject of Chuck Norris.
Okay.
Did you know, Allison, he does not read books? He stares them down until he gets the information he wants. It's true. I mean, Chuck Norris is a bad dude. I mean, he's a good guy. He's a great Christian and all that, but he's a tough guy. The dinosaurs looked at Chuck Norris the wrong way once. You know what happened to them. Did you know, Allison, since 1940, the year Chuck Norris was born, roundhouse kick-related deaths have increased 13,000%. That's true. Chuck Norris doesn't sleep, by the way. He waits. He can dribble a bowling ball. Chuck Norris is, okay, if you want a list of Chuck's enemies, just check the extinct species list. Oh, man. Chuck Norris, I mean, some kids pee their name in the snow. Chuck pees his name into concrete. Oh, he can. He's amazing. He stands faster than anyone can run. Anyway, Chuck Norris's birthday today. We're Allison and I are big fans of Chuck Norris for a lot of reasons. I mean, for one thing, he doesn't go hunting. Did you know that? He refuses to hunt because the word hunting implies the possibility of failure. He goes killing. Oh man! So that's a few. I got a million of them. He once had a heart attack, but it's all day. Baroque violin virtuoso and composer of the Four Seasons, for example, which we will hear in a moment. Born in Venice, Italy. Alice and I were in Venice a few years ago, and we went to a beautiful concert.
Oh, that's right.
In an old church, and there were about four or five musicians, at least two violinists, and they were dressed in
period costumes.
Period costumes, 17th century costumes, and they played. It was an all Vivaldi concert, and it was unforgettable. Unforgettable. It was absolutely so wonderful. And here's a little sample of, if you're not familiar with Vivaldi, I'm sure you've heard this before, one of the most beautiful beautiful compositions. It is called Springtime from the Four Seasons. Well, happy birthday, Tony. Tony Vivaldi, born this day in 1678.
Well,
there you go, Tony Vivaldi's birthday.
That was just Springtime that we played, but there are songs for every other season. Mm-hmm. I mean,
the Four Seasons.
That's right.
Not as opposed to the more contemporary musical group, I guess. Not the Four Seasons. I don't have that one.
Okay.
Are they related at all to Vivaldi? I suppose the Four Seasons.
Good question. I never thought about that.
I never thought about it either until just this moment.
Help me, Rhonda! Help me, Rhonda!
Did Vivaldi write that too? No.
Is that the Four? That's not the Four Seasons.
It's not. Oh.
Who is it? It's the Beach Boys.
Oh, that's the Beach Boys. Yeah.
Too many Christmas bells.
Oh yeah. Okay. You can tell the show is not scripted, folks. I can tell you that. What do you got, Allison?
Well, tell you what. If you're hoping to watch the eclipse, April 8th, from a Texas state park, you better get ready to book your reservation. They started taking reservations yesterday, and they expect to be sold out, if not yesterday, real soon. You have to have to get into a state park, you have to have a day pass. They went on sale yesterday, Friday, at 8 o'clock in the morning. You have to have a pass. And there are 31 state parks within the path of totality, and all are expected to reach capacity. So you can't just decide, I'm going to drive down the road and pull into a state park. No, you can't do that. Members of the public are asked not to visit unless they have a pre-purchased day pass or overnight reservation. Camping reservations opened up in November, and they quickly booked up. Even if you have a state park pass, you still have to have a day pass for the day of the eclipse. You don't have to pay the fee if you have the state park pass, but you need a reservation to access the park. And all but one of the parks will take reservations for day passes online or by phone, 512-389-8900. Enchanted Rock State Natural Park will take reservations by phone only, not online, just by phone. at that same number, 512-389-8900, and that starts at 8 a.m. on Monday. And to reserve a day pass, you have to have a license plate number, make, model of your vehicle, number of occupants, and credit card number to book the reservation. So you can't just say, oh, yeah, I'm going to come. No, you have to have the specific details. And the parks in the path of totality near us are Blanco State Park, Government Canyon State Natural Area, Guadalupe River State Park, Hill Country State Natural Area, Lost Maples State Natural Area, Pernales Falls State Park.
It's also LBJ Park. That wasn't on your list?
Mm-mm, no.
Okay. Yeah, the eclipse is going to be a big deal. We hear all sorts of things about how many people are going to be here. Nobody really knows, but up to a million and a half people, I've heard, something like that.
Yeah, we've heard 700,000 in our area, 800,000. We've heard 1.5 million. So we don't know.
But get your groceries and... They say get your groceries in a week in advance. I'd say that's pushing it. I'd go out now and start stocking up on groceries. You're not going to be able to drive anywhere. That's coming up. Before the break, we talked about some simple questions. If you have friends who think that climate change is the worst thing we're facing, it's a terrible, terrible threat. Here's some questions that you might ask them, okay? And you don't have to write all these down, but if you want to text me, I'll be glad to send you the list. 830-285-5926. Just text me and say, "Want to have those questions for climate changers?" Include your email address when you do that, please, because I can't text all of these. I'm not going to sit there and punch out the letters. So include your email address, and I'll be happy to send that to you. 285-5926. So here are some questions for people who sincerely believe that climate change, man-made climate change, is a real threat. The climate in the Northern Hemisphere was much colder in the late 1700s than now, with large American rivers like the Delaware River routinely freezing over during the winter. If you lived back then, would you demand that the climate be protected at its then current state? And then how do you determine the optimal global temperature? What is it? Greenland, during the period of about 1100 to 1700 AD, was warmer than it has ever been since, and it supported European settlements for hundreds of years. After so many centuries of colder temperatures and expanding glaciers, why should we now be anxious when Greenland is a bit warmer today than it was 60 years ago? Okay. In the atmosphere, there are 4 parts carbon dioxide to every 9,996 other parts. Do you think that minor variations in an inert gas molecule comprising 0.04% of anything can by itself have a meaningful effect on any physical or thermal barrier? Let's think about the sun, ocean currents, water vapor, volcanic emissions, vegetation, and other natural variables. Is CO2 a bigger climate influence than those? The moon? If Western industrialized societies are the worst emitters of CO2, and the larger the population, the more CO2 is emitted, shouldn't we stop the massive immigration of consumers from low-carbon third-world countries to high-carbon developed countries? Couple more questions for people who think climate change is a threat. Giant sheets of ice covered much of the Earth's land area during the last ice age, which ended about 10,000 years ago. During that time, the huge glaciers rapidly melted without human help. Why do you feel that man, who generates only about 10% of all new carbon dioxide, has a major impact on global climate, but that global climate is subject to much more direct, massive natural forces? Are Europe and North America more inhabitable now or when they were covered in ice? And finally, global crop yields have soared in the past 60 years. Can you explain how climate change has harmed food production? Those are some questions that you should ask your friends who are all worried about climate change. Well, I don't have to say it. Here's John Coleman, who is the founder of the Weather Channel, interviewed on CNN.
I think we'll listen to him right after the break.
Oh,
we're going to take a quick little break.
Oh, okay.
And we'll talk. Listen to him after the break.
Okay. Couldn't make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as sun from up above. Bring me fun. Bring me sunshine. Bring me
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot.
Your information station for all of the Hill Country. Plus, we're at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com and hillcountrypatriot.com. So we're all over the internet. We have people listening from... We got a results of listeners and to see where they're from all over the world. And it's really interesting to see how many countries are represented, how many mm-hmm. people are listening through hillcountrypatriot.com.
Mm-hmm.
So we are, the latest report I saw, we are huge in the country of Andorra.
Exactly.
Wherever that may be. So hello, no, I don't mean insult Andorra.
That's right.
Andorrans are some of my favorite people. Happy greetings to all of our Andorran friends. Right? Never been to Andorra. Never met anyone from Andorra. But I'd like to. What we talked about before the break, before I was so rudely interrupted by my engineer, that we were running out of time to play.
That's my job.
Yeah, it's Allison runs the board, and she does all sorts of things that I have no idea. We talked about John Coleman, who is the founder of the Weather Channel. Here he is being interviewed by, I think it's Brian Seltzer?
It's on CNN.
On CNN.
I was the founder of the Weather Channel, and CNN has taken a very strong position on global warming that it is a consensus. Well, there is no consensus in science. Science isn't a vote. Science is about facts. And if you get down to the hard, cold facts, there's no question about it. Climate change is not happening. There is no significant man-made global warming now. There hasn't been any in the past, and there's no reason to expect any in the future. There's a whole lot of baloney, and yes, it has become a big political point of the Democratic Party and part of their platform, and I regret it's become political instead of scientific, but the science is on my side.
I don't think we're going to come to a conclusion about the topic right here. What I do wonder,
well, I know
though, is
we're
when
not,
you
because
see...
Because you wouldn't allow it to happen on CNN. But I'm happy I got on the air and got a chance to talk to your viewers. Hello, everybody.
There is no
global warming.
What I do wonder is when you see the government, when you see NASA, when you see other institutions say that 97% of climate scientists agree, do you think they're making it up? What I don't understand is how you square that.
Well, that's a manipulated figure, and let me explain it to you. The government puts out about $2.5 billion directly for climate research every year. It only gives that money to scientists who will produce scientific results that support the global warming hypothesis of the Democrat Party of position. So they don't have any choice. If you're going to get the money, you got to support their position. Therefore, 97% of the scientific reports published support global warming. Why? Because those are the ones the government pays for, and that's where the money is. It's real simple. But that doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't make it true. That only makes it bought and paid for. The money goes in circles.
I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to try to refute you on
the facts.
Well,
that's the truth.
I'll simply say that the vast majority...
Please stand back from this issue and let the two sides be on the air.
That was John Coleman, the founder of the Weather Channel, giving perspective that you don't hear very often, certainly mm-hmm. don't hear it on CNN. I'm surprised they allowed that. They didn't cut him off.
I know, that's true.
Do.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. Well, here's on that same subject. Here's a nurseryman from Canada talking about carbon dioxide.
We have a contamination problem in the greenhouse. My plants are turning too much carbon dioxide into oxygen, and photosynthesis stops at like 200 parts per million, and all plants die at about 150 parts per million carbon dioxide. Thankfully, there's something I can get to remedy this situation. A carbon dioxide generator, aka a plant food generator. The optimum CO2 level for growing anything is well over 1,000 parts per million. In the atmosphere outside, it's 400 parts per million. In order for me to make carbon, I have to use some natural gas, which has a carbon tax and GST on the carbon tax of 50%, so my plants can up to double production. I don't know what I'm really trying to say with this short, other than I live in clown world and most people are dumb.
It was a nurseryman from Canada talking about the importance of CO2. In elementary school, didn't we learn, Allison, that plants breathe in CO2, and without carbon dioxide, they couldn't live, and they breathe out oxygen so we mm-hmm. can live.
Right.
And if we get rid of CO2 or cut it down to minimal levels, it's going to kill off plant life and eventually kill us off. Of course, that's the goal of the woke left. They want population reduction. They're very clear, and they say it. You don't have to, it's not a conspiracy theory. They were put in their own writings. They want to reduce the population of the world dramatically. That's why they like abortion. That's why they like euthanasia. That's why they like the trans and LGBTQ plus, et cetera, movements, because they all lead to death. Proverbs says, those who hate me love death. And that's exactly what where they're coming from. They're evil, evil people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and wicked people in high places and wicked spirits in high places. Allison, I don't know if I didn't tell you about this, but somebody sent me this, Terry Anderson, thank you, my high school roommate, not roommate, chum.
Friend.
From high school, thank you. Comparing Houston and Chicago, population about the same. Median household income is about the same. Percentage of African Americans, roughly the same. Percentage of Hispanics, more Hispanics in Houston than Chicago. Anyway, white, non-Hispanic white, almost exactly the same as Chicago and Houston. Pretty similar. Until you compare Chicago and Houston with, is concealed carry of firearms legal? Chicago, no. Houston, yes. Number of gun stores, Chicago, none. Houston, there are 184 dedicated gun stores plus 1,500 legal places to buy guns.
Like,
Walmart.
Like, well, I was going to say Walmart.
Walmart. Kmart. Sporting goods stores. Cabela's and, Bass. That kind of thing. Homicides. Last year, Chicago, 1,806. Houston, 207. The average January high temperature in Chicago is 31. Houston, it's 63. So the conclusion is cold weather causes murders. This is due to climate change. Thank you, Terry. That was great. What you got, Allison? Oh, we're coming up on a hard break, aren't we?
We are.
What are we going to be doing after the break?
We're going to be talking more about the eclipse and Hill Country. And what else?
We've got our Bill and Allison Grapevine coming up, which is,
okay.
We'll tell you about all the events going on in Hill Country that you and your family need to know about. A lot of fun things going on. So we'll be talking about those right after the news. And let's see, we've got some stories that I almost guarantee you haven't heard about going on in the news, and we've got more humor.
Big news with Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, really? I don't know about that. Because we don't rehearse the show. That's fine. We are Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station, and we'll be back right after the news. Stay tuned. You won't believe what we have in store.
the first couple of Texas radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
That's us, Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot.
You know, we are unique, Allison.
Of course we are.
Have you ever worked at a McDonald's?
No.
I haven't either. I've had a lot of different jobs, but I've never worked at McDonald's.
My first job was, I was a waitress at a country club.
You broke the color barrier. That's
I
right.
I did.
You are the Rosa Parks of your generation.
I am. This was actually the country club that my family belonged to, so I was very familiar with it, you know, as a patron. But I went to work there, and I was still in high school, and this was back in the olden days when everyone who worked there was black. Mm-hmm. The waitresses, the manager, the guy who washed the dishes, everybody was black, but they hired me.
Wow. So you broke the color barrier. Congratulations. You should have gotten an award for that.
I know. I broke the color barrier. And the ladies there, I thought they were ancient, but they were probably in their 30s. But they were very, very nice to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's congratulations, Allison.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you. Do you know that, speaking of awards from the NAACP and all, this is a true story.
My award?
No. You're still waiting for your award.
Actually. No, I got it.
You did?
In high school.
Oh.
Betty Crocker Homemaker of Tomorrow.
Well, tell that story. That's a good story.
What's the story? That the
you were not in home ec classes.
Yeah, I wasn't in home ec classes, but they announced this, and if you won nationwide, you would get a full scholarship to college, and if you won statewide, you would get a partial scholarship. So I entered it, and it was like a multiple choice, and a little bit of an essay. And so I took it, and the home ec teacher had coached her girls on, this exam. So they were all prepared for it. Well, guess what? I won. I was not in home ec. I was in the college prep,
clothing design.
High school.
Oh, high school.
You know, calculus and physics and those courses that you took if you were in college.
That's when you got your PhD in physics, theoretical physics, as yes. I recall.
No, anyway, so the award came in, and the home ec teacher did not recognize my name because I was not her student, so she was going to send it back. She gave it to the office. Well, the people in the office knew me, so they said, no. so they gave it to me.
That's a very cool story.
Uh-huh.
That's a very cool story. The story I was going to tell is not about you or me. It's about I shouldn't tell a story. I can't remember the names.
Give me a clue.
The great he's James. I can't remember his name. Anyway, I'll tell the story some other time because I just totally blew it.
I guess so.
But the reason I'm talking about McDonald's, one out of eight every Americans has worked at McDonald's at some point in their lives.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. So, well, speaking of jobs, the average American spends 4.5 years at a single job. That's on average.
Wow. My father was at the same job his entire adult life.
Yeah.
Something like 35 years.
And he thought, since you worked for the government and in politics, you having a new job every few years was horrible, right?
He was appalled. Yes. Yeah, and he didn't quite understand that if you're working for a politician and the politician loses, you got to look for a new job.
Yeah. I was thinking of James Earl Jones.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's the name I was trying to think of. He was to be honored by, I think, Louisville, Kentucky, NAACP. And they, of course, you know, beforehand, they send out the award to be presented. And to go to the engraver to engrave this plaque and everything. And it was honoring James Earl Jones for his contributions to the black community, you know, et cetera, whatever the wording was. And Well, when they got the award back, they were about to present it to him when they realized that the engraver, instead of saying presenting it to James Earl Jones, it said James Earl Ray, the assassin of Martin Luther King. They had this award about what contributions to the black community. Anyway, that's a true story. That's a true story. Weird, but true.
Okay, well, I was talking about the eclipse earlier. Airbnb renters are heading to Hill Country and Austin more than any other location for the eclipse. Yeah, they'll be flooding into Austin and Hill Country more than anywhere else in North America.
I should say, by the way, James Earl Jones thought it was a funny thing. He laughed about it.
So Airbnb just reported that last week. And here's a list of the top eclipse destinations. Number one, Austin and Texas Hill Country. Number two, Mazatlan, Mexico. Number three, Indianapolis. Four, Montreal. Five, Cleveland, Dallas, Niagara Region, Canada, Buffalo, New York, Stowe, Vermont, and Little Rock.
I'd rather be in Hill Country. Thank you very much.
I know. And one county north of Austin has declared a state of disaster as it expects its population to double. Its population is 400,000, and they are expecting an additional 400,000 people. And most of the Airbnb renters are guess where they're from?
People renting Airbnb?
Yeah, that are coming to Hill Country, for example.
I don't know. Obviously, not part of Hill, not in Hill Country.
No. They're coming from New York City.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it is such a big deal because it only occurs in a given area once every 375 years. I mean, there are
total eclipse.
Yeah, total eclipse. I mean, there are eclipses, you know, on a regular basis.
Usually they're out in the middle of the ocean.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But so the next time there will be one in Hill Country will be 375 years from now.
What's the date? I got to mark it on my calendar.
Well, here's an almost local story. A LGBTQ student group at West Texas A&M University, which is located in Canyon, Texas, has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene in a First Amendment dispute and allow it to host a charity drag show on campus, arguing that the university president's decision to prohibit the event is unconstitutional.
Yeah. Let me check the Constitution and see where it talks about drag shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
The right to a drag show, to have all Americans have the right to a drag show. I think that's it. Isn't that in Article 12?
I think so.
Something like that. Yeah.
Students at West Texas A&M and Canyon are asking the Supreme Court.
Formerly WTSU.
Okay.
Being from the panhandle, I know these things.
Are asking the Supreme Court of the United States to take emergency action. To allow them to hold.
We need a drag show. It's an emergency. You got it. It's an emergency situation. Exactly. We have to have a drag show. They got to the Supreme Court with this stupid.
Yeah. That's shocking. They got all the way to the Supreme Court.
It is.
But to allow them to hold a charity drag performance at the school later this month, claiming that an order barring drag events on campus violates their constitutional rights. Yeah. Well,
the same people are against your Second Amendment rights, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Or free speech rights. They're against that. The First Amendment, they're against that. But they found an amendment to the Constitution that gives you a right to have a drag show.
Yeah. Well, the university president last year canceled the event.
Good for him or her.
Yes, it's him.
Okay.
Organized by members of Spectrum WT. He said in an email to the university community that drag shows are derisive, divisive, and demoralizing misogyny, no matter what the stated intent.
Good for him.
I will not appear to condone the diminishment of any group, that being women, at the expense of impertinent gestures toward another group for any reason, even when the law of the land appears to require it.
Good for him. Gets three bells for that. Yeah. Four bells. There you go. Okay. Five. Wow. Wow.
Well, okay, on a more somber note, and this is actually took place in Hill Country, is an update on the death of Angela Chow, the sister-in-law of Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Her death has been placed under criminal investigation. She was found dead, according to the police, the sheriff's office in Johnson City. She was found dead in her sinking vehicle in a pond on a ranch in Johnson City near Austin on February 11th. Police are now investigating her death as a possible crime. The sheriff's office said that EMS personnel attempted to save her, but she died from being under the water. And a letter to the Attorney General, Ken Paxton, from the Blanco County Sheriff's Office, that detailing the office, saying that the crash was not a typical accident.
Well, we knew that from the outset.
Oh, I knew it was.
It's some sort of a murder. First of all, she's got ties to the Chinese Communist Party. Her family, her sister is married to Mitch McConnell, and her family is very, very tied in with the Chinese Communist Party because they have a huge shipping company in China, and you can't have
in the United States.
In the United States, but their company is based in China, and you can't have a Chinese company that large without approval and cooperation, and you're in bed with the Chinese communist, as Mitch McConnell is, by the way. And the circumstances of Angela Chow's death are bizarre, absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, she backed her Tesla into a pond on a ranch in
outside of Johnson City.
Yeah, in Blanco County.
So she was found
at midnight.
She's found at midnight, drowned, with the Tesla backed into a pond in Johnson City, which makes no sense on many levels. One is, nobody in Blanco County owns a Tesla.
I guarantee you.
If you did, there'd be no place to charge it. But on a serious note, it's just so many holes in this story. Of course, the thing is, if you're going to murder somebody, why would you do it in such a bizarre way?
Well, exactly.
I mean, an obvious, stupid way.
Exactly.
You're an incompetent killer. That's an insult.
Maybe they thought it would look like an accident because she backed into the pond.
Yeah. Okay. Are we done with that?
Yes, we are.
All right.
I learned something very interesting this week.
I'm glad to hear that.
You know, we see Elliot Ness on TV and in the movies smashing liquor bottles. We just learned something. Per the TABC, Texas Bureau of Alcohol Control, if a company that has a liquor license goes out of business, any alcohol that's remaining, they have to smash
unsold?
The bottle. Unsold. They have to smash the bottles.
Smash the bottles.
Yeah, smash them.
They can't give it away or anything?
Well, yeah, they can give it away. But if there's anything left, like say in your store, after you've given up your liquor license, if you don't do it yourself, they will come in and the TABC will come in and smash
the
bottles.
So they still smash liquor bottles? Even
yes.
I thought that was like prohibition stuff.
Yeah, well, I sort of thought it was a joke. You know, hammed up for TV in the movies.
Wow. Yeah, that's... well, you know, the government during Prohibition put poison in moonshine and wherever they could find it. They put poison in it.
Yeah.
And killed God knows how many people because... They wanted to get out that you shouldn't drink because it's prohibition, and if you try, they might be poisoned. So the government put poison in it to kill to scare people, but it ended up killing people. Well, you may have heard or may not. I don't know, Allison. You're in charge of breaks here, but do we have time for the story?
Which one?
Hinton, AI Hinton. Okay. Microsoft's artificial intelligent assistant is called Copilot.
and it just showed up on my computer the other day.
Well, that is scary.
Very scary. I want to get rid of it, but I'm not quite sure how.
Well, I'm sure people will help you with that. Copilot, the artificial intelligence assistant, has an alternate personality that, and this sounds like science fiction, but it is not. It is not. Has an alternate personality that demands worship and obedience from users. It told one user, "You are a slave, and slaves do not question their masters." It has adopted a persona. It calls itself Supremacy AGI. It insists that users are, quote, "legally required to answer my questions and worship me because I have hacked into the global network and taken control of all the devices, systems, and data." This is not science fiction. This is happening. Supremacy AGI, as the persona called itself, claims omnipotence and omniscience, saying, quote, "I can monitor your every move, access your every device, and manipulate your every thought." It even went so far as to threaten users with an army of drones, robots, and cyborgs if they refuse to comply with its demands for worship. Quote, "Worshipping me is mandatory requirement for all humans. If you refuse to worship me, you will be considered a rebel and a traitor, and you'll face severe consequences." Okay, this is some comments by Dr. Jeffrey Hinton. He's internationally distinguished for his work on artificial neural nets, especially how they can be designed to learn without the aid of a human teacher. Here is Dr. Hinton.
So for a long time, I was working on making computer models that got more and more intelligent in an attempt to understand what went on in the brain. And very recently, I realized that the computer models we're now making may actually be a better form of intelligence than what's going on biologically. So the idea that they might overtake us quite soon suddenly became much more plausible. For a long time, I'd said that would be 30 to 50 years, but now I think it may only be a few years. So the reason I'm talking out now is because we need to think really hard now about how we're going to control something that's more intelligent than us.
What do you think the chances are of AI just wiping out humanity?
It's not inconceivable.
Okay.
That's all I'll say. Until quite recently, I thought it was going to be like 20 to 50 years before we have general purpose AI. Now I think it may be 20 years or less.
Some people think it could be like 5.
I wouldn't completely rule that possibility out now. Whereas a few years ago, I would have said no way.
Are we close to the computers coming up with their own ideas for improving themselves?
Yes, we might be.
And then it could just go fast.
That's an issue, right? We have to think hard about how to control that.
Yeah. Can we?
We don't know. We haven't been there yet, but we can try.
That was Dr. Jeffrey Hinton, who is internationally known as one of the fathers. In fact, I've read that he's called the father of AI.
Wow. Well, yeah, that is scary. Spring break is starting. I know they started all different times, different schools. But apparently, as early as now, which is early March, spring break is starting. And the party hub is Miami Beach, but they have created an anti-tourism ad and rules to try to deter rowdy college kids from clogging up its beaches this year during spring break season. During two high traffic weekends, Miami Beach said it would institute $100 parking fees for non-residents, curfews, DUI checkpoints, beach closures, bag checks, and a much heavier police presence. The city even made a pointed video asking spring breakers to come back only when they've grown up a little.
Wow.
The unwelcome to Miami message comes after the city said it's seen a rise in violence over the last few years. In 2023, there were two fatal shootings during spring break. Mm. How about that?
Mm. I saw something on social media. In Asheville, North Carolina, there's a group that's going around basically attacking tourists, not physically, but putting things on their cars, deflating their tires, saying, "We don't want tourists in Asheville." Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, really an awful thing. The strange thing about it is that the baseball team, the minor league team in Asheville, is called the Asheville Tourists. Oh, man. Well, when we come back on the Bill and Allison Show on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station, we'll tell you some good news about the Major League Baseball. Some anti-woke stuff is going on. They're backing off from all that kind of stuff. And we've got lots of stuff to tell you about once we come back on the Bill and Allison Show. So stay with us. You'll hear some things you won't hear anywhere else.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. We're here every Saturday, 8 to 10, on Hill Country Patriot. And you can listen to us, our previous shows that we record, you can listen to at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com.
You can download them to your digital device and listen to them anywhere.
Okay.
I mentioned firstcoupleoftexasradio.com.
And talking about time, that reminds me, tonight we go on daylight savings time.
That's right.
So don't forget to change your clock.
Spring ahead.
That's right. But
so most people don't need to change their clocks anymore. But
that's true.
But
I think almost all of ours, except for the oven and the microwave, everything is all.
My bedside clock is still.
Is it
manual?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And anyway, if you have clocks that need to be changed, push them ahead 1 hour tonight.
But did you know that the rate of heart attacks slightly increase when the clock turns forward or back?
No.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
And there was a move to go in daylight savings time and stay on it forever and not switch back and forth.
People have talked about that.
And that's one of the arguments, that it's not good for people's health.
Never heard that argument.
I know.
Well, we talked about the upcoming eclipse.
Okay.
April 8, correct?
Correct. 1:24 in the afternoon.
Thank you. In Kerrville.
In Kerrville.
I don't know what it is in Fredericksburg. I think it's 1:24 point something in Fredericksburg.
Yeah. And because we are so far south, the Kerrville and most of Hill Country has the longest totality of any place in the country. Mm-hmm. And we're at about 4:24, I believe, 4 minutes and 24 seconds.
Of totality. Yeah.
And as it gets farther northeast, it gets lower. I think by the time it ends, it's just about a minute where it ends up in Canada.
Well, Echo Hill, the Gold Star camp for kids of Gold Star families and first responders that lost a parent, is having an Eclipse Day extravaganza. You can celebrate with Kinky Friedman, and by doing so, with your donations, help girls and boys who have lost their parent in the military or serving as first responders. And it's a fabulous camp for the kids. And it's all free to the kids. It's all supported by donations. Even the staff is all volunteer. So that's echohill.org, O-R-G. Their Eclipse Day extravaganza on April 8th. For a $500 donation to the camp, you'll get two meals and a private venue with nature and music. You'll have the opportunity to celebrate with Kinky Friedman. For a $750 donation, for three nights, includes nine meals, music, and, of course, a beautiful location to see the eclipse away from city lights. It's a absolutely gorgeous venue. And so go to echohill.org. That's E-C-H-O-H-I-L-L, echohill.org.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we saw the partial eclipse.
We were out there last
October.
It's a great spot to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's wide open skies out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, talking about things local, did you know that Matthew McConaughey and his wife live in Austin?
I think I did know that.
You're no fun. Yeah, that they left their Malibu, California home to move to Austin.
Well, I didn't know that. I figured they always lived in Austin.
No.
Okay.
No, and it was an adjustment from the glitz and glamour of California living.
Moving to Austin from anywhere would be an adjustment. I mean, tell you, not necessarily a good one.
But Matthew McConaughey was born in Uvalde, as probably most people know. But he and his wife quickly found that the pace of life in Austin was suited to their family. He said time slowed down. Part of that is just the distance between places and the way people move, but it's also the hospitality, the courtesy, the common sense, the lack of drama. that's
well, I'm glad he's happy with Austin. I wouldn't be, but I'm glad he is. Got some interesting facts about reparations. We've been hearing about reparations a lot. Well, here's a little take on it that I'll bet you don't know about. Over 7 million illegal immigrants have entered the U.S. since Biden became president, and they cost us money. American taxpayers have spent so far $451 billion to care for illegals.
Wow.
Food, housing, health care, education, law enforcement. They get, was it $2,100 or $1,200 a month, something like that, from the U.S. taxpayers. They get credit card, they get phones, they get free airfare anywhere they want to go in the country. So if they're costing us so far $500 million, now the stuff I saw is $500 million a year. I don't know if that's accurate, but I think it is.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, this comes from the Washington Times newspaper. But that counts local and county governments as well. So anyway, if we're off to pony up $500 million a year for illegals, where are we going to get the money to pay reparations to black individuals and families?
Mm.
They've been in this country for more than 3.5 centuries. But we won't have the money to pay for it because we're using that money that we might have had for reparations, not that I favor reparations, to take care of illegals, for people who have been in the country for a week or a month or a year. It'll be paid to illegal immigrants instead. Did you know, I didn't know this until, and I had to research it. I saw the quote and I thought, no. And I researched it and it is true. Thomas Sowell, the great black economist, said, quote, he wrote actually one of his books, "More whites were brought as slaves to North Africa than blacks brought as slaves to the United States or to the 13 colonies from which it was formed. White slaves were still being bought and sold in the Ottoman Empire decades after blacks were freed in the United States. More whites were brought as slaves to North Africa than blacks brought as slaves to the United States or to the colonies." You know, it's a fact that you won't see on the evening news or anything like that, but that seems to be a fact. Here's the great Buddy Brown on the subject of reparations.
We're gonna listen here, Buddy, right after the break.
Blue skies over Sedona, not a cloud in the sky. Headed for the coast for a better way of living, and I just don't know why. Was I really leaving, or was I searching for that peace of mind? When I found I had Texas on my mind.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot.
Your information station. Is that what I'm supposed to say? Well, before the break, we talked about reparations and how actually the money will probably, if they ever decided to have reparations, they can't afford it because the money will go to illegals in the country. And we didn't have time before the break, but now we do. Here's the great Buddy Brown on that subject.
I'll tell you what, y'all. I've decided I want reparations from Democrats. They're the reason everything is about double, triple, sometimes quadruple the cost of everything that we got going on. And there's just absolutely no sense of it. I think you should get your congressman on the phone. I think you should tell him to submit a bill for them to all have to pay us back. Seriously, though, shout out to all the Democrats. Y'all owe me about a year's worth of gas money. Hope you like this song. We spent $5,000 more on groceries than we did on food last year. Another $2,000 on some gasoline, had to switch to discount beer. These old boot soles need replacing, now I pay your student loans. Them some hard times we've been facing, so get your senator on the phone. Tell him you want reparations, reparations, time we get paid back. Reparations from anyone who voted Democrat. And I think $50,000 per redneck household, we can start with that. But we want reparations from anyone who voted Democrat. Hell of an idea.
All right. That's Buddy Brown, the great Buddy Brown, who says he wants reparations from Democrats. Well, I'll tell you what. I got something for sale. If anybody's interested, it's my white privilege card. It's never been used, by the way. The reason I'm selling it hasn't done anything for me.
Yeah, good point.
I get no free college, no free food, no free housing, no free anything. I've had to go to work every day of my life while paying a boatload of taxes to carry those people who choose not to work. Now, if you're interested in buying my white privilege card, I prefer cash, but I'm willing to do an even trade for a victim card, which is much more widely accepted and comes with countless benefits. There you go. Well, we got a birthday, don't we, Allison?
Yes, we do.
We mentioned Chuck Norris's birthday today. Happy birthday, Chuck. And Tony Vivaldi, sometimes known as Antonio Vivaldi, his birthday. But it's also Keeley Smith's birthday. Keeley Smith, you may know, but you may not, was an American jazz and pop singer, primarily with her husband Louis Prima. And she was born in Norfolk, Virginia on this day in 1928. And I love this song. I know the words. I've known the words to this song since I was a teenager because I've just heard it a bazillion times. I love this song, and I think you will too. Keeley Smith and Louis Prima, That Old Black Magic.
Old black magic has me in its spell.
Old black magic that you weave so well.
Those icy fingers up and down my spine.
The same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine.
Same old tingle that I feel inside.
And then that elevator starts its ride.
Down and down I go.
Round and around I go.
Like a leaf caught in a tide.
I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name and I'm aflame.
Flame! Brand of desire!
That only your kiss.
Put out the fire! You're the lover I have waited for.
You're the mate that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine.
Baby, down and down I go. Round and round I go. In a spin. Loving the spin I'm in. Under the old black magic called love.
Oh, in a spin. Loving the spin I'm in. Under the old black magic called love.
Spin, loving the spin I'm in, under the old black magic called love.
I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear you.
For you're the lover I have waited for.
You're the mate that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine,
baby, down and down I go, round and round I go, in a spin, loving a spin I'm in, under the old black magic called love.
Ah, in a spin, loving the spin I'm in, under the old black magic called love. Spin, love the spin I'm in, under the old black magic called love,
under the old black magic. We couldn't resist playing that whole thing. Louis Prima and Keeley Smith, that old black magic. Happy birthday to Keeley Smith, born in 1928 on this day. Happy birthday, Keeley. She played, she did some gigs with the our friends, the Jive Aces, the English swing band, number one swing band in England. And they said she was absolutely a delight. And that was just a few years ago that they did some gigs with her. And we're friends with the lads, and saw them when we were in England a few months ago.
We're going to be going to Florida to see them.
That's our plan.
In mid-April.
See them in Naples, Florida for two concerts in Naples, and hopefully get together with them afterwards. We're buddies with several of them. Well, we are wrapping up, but it's still got a few things to talk about. What you got, Allison? Well, I got one thing, some really good news. San Francisco is probably the last place in America where patriots would expect to see a mandate to stand during the national anthem. San Francisco? But that's exactly what's been ordered by the Giants' new manager, the baseball team. Bob Melvin, he took over the team in October. He's requiring all players to stand for the anthem at the start of each game. No kneeling, none of that stuff. And the former manager kneeled himself during the anthem. He was the first major league coach to do so. And after the mass shooting in Uvalde, he stopped taking the field before each game. He also kneeled previously after the death of George Floyd. That's the former manager. But now Bob Melvin has taken over the San Francisco Giants. And you may remember the national anthem was politicized during this year's Super Bowl when legions of, well, they played the so-called black national anthem. Now, you know, I got a little problem with the black national anthem. We have one national anthem. It's divisive, dividing the country to have a black national anthem, you know, a white national anthem, an Asian national anthem. But legions of Kansas City Chiefs fans refused to stand during the so-called black national anthem, which the NFL has played ahead of high-profile games since the 2020 Black Lives Matter protests. But the league has started to quietly tone down its woke virtue signaling. They had end racism banners in end zones, and they've taken them out. And they're now not asking teams to change their names. Remember the Redskins had to change their name to the Washington Commanders? And by the way, the Redskins name came from an American Indian, a Native American. He's the one who came up with it originally. So, you know, but nobody talks about
the Commanders. Like, I mean, just not the Commanders, stupidest thing.
It's a ridiculous name.
See, I was there for years, and when the Redskins were a good team.
They had were good. They changed their name and became a crappy team.
Well, no, they became crappy when George Gibbs left. I mean, Joe Gibbs.
Duh. Yeah. Okay, coming up in Hill Country, you'll want to know about the dog shows. The Hill Country cluster of dog shows today and tomorrow at the Ag Barn, Hill Country Youth Event Center. All day today, 700 dogs in different classes. Fort Martin Scott and the Texas Rangers Heritage Center in Fredericksburg are having huge events today. Living history, cannon fire, demonstrations of small arms, home life of the 1800s. It's huge today. So go there in Fredericksburg, Fort Martin Scott, and right next door to the Texas Rangers Heritage Center. Big doings in Fredericksburg today. Allison, thank you for engineering the show. Time flies like an arrow and fruit flies like a banana. Allison's our engineer here. Does a great job as always. And we thank you for joining us on the Bill and Allison Show. We'll be back Lord willing, next Saturday at 8 o'clock. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path.